God's grace and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're concluding a message series that we've been doing now. This is our sixth week, looking at the life of David, and in particular, at little slice when he fights and takes on the giant Goliath. We looked at all different sort of giants that we face in our lives today, and we've looked at anger, we've looked at addiction, we've looked at the giant of comfort, how we just want everything to, you know, be comfortable and safe and nice and as few risks as possible, and instead of stepping out in faith. We've looked at all kinds of giants that are there in our lives, and what we've tried to remember is that our giant killer is Jesus. And this story was David doing it by the power of God. But our giant killer, the one that killed sin and death and the power of the devil for us, is Jesus. He is our good shepherd. He is our son of David, as he's promised and called in the New Testament. But he is the one that God sent to us. And David wrote a psalm that I want to use as a way of kind of closing up and finishing this study, this idea of giants. He wrote the Psalm 23. You heard Logan read it a little while ago. And we'll be focusing in on one of the verses that's in there. But first, let's take a look at this verse from 1 Samuel chapter 17, where David is getting ready to fight Goliath, and he has such confidence because he knows God is going to go with him. He says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." David knows God was with me then, and God is going to be with me to face this giant now. He's so confident in that, and we want to have that same confidence. Then David is the one who wrote the 23rd Psalm, and in it he has this phrase that is so important for us to grasp. I think when we hear this psalm, probably the favorite psalm in all of the Bible for everyone, we go over this verse so quickly, and today I want us to pause on it. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That's an interesting phrase, a table in the presence of my enemies. You know, imagine if anybody has seen the movie A Few Good Men, and when the Tom Cruise's character goes down to Guantanamo Bay and meets with the character played by the famous actor Jack, and he's so famous I can't remember his last name right now. But as he's there, he says, "I have breakfast 1,000 yards away from snipers who want to take my life." Imagine sitting there with a white tablecloth, sitting there in open air with enemies all around, and calmly having your breakfast taco or kolache with Jesus. That's the picture. Enemies all around us, enemies facing us, very real threats, but calmly, joyfully even, having a meal with the Savior of our souls. He prepares that table for us. Well, David is the one who wrote that psalm. David is the one who faces giants, but he isn't the only one who does. You and I have all kinds of giant-sized challenges in our lives. Challenges about our jobs, challenges about our health, challenges about our relationships, challenges with even our own thought life, where we get discouraged, and depression's a very real thing for a lot of people. And as we deal with all of those giants and other ones even that I haven't named, but they're there going on in your heart, we know we're not facing them alone. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us we actually already have a victory because of what Jesus has done. Here's how verse 14 puts it. "Thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession." I know it doesn't always feel like it. Our bank accounts may not always reflect it. Our blood pressure may not be the best indicator of it. But we already have victory. We already have conquered over, with the help of Jesus, all the enemies, all the obstacles, all the giants that we face in our lives. And Jesus is the one leading us in that procession. We'll get specifically to this idea of him sitting at the table with us. But he's our leader. He's the one who went first. He faced the devil first and overcame all those temptations. He faced sin first as he died on the cross for us. He faced death first when he died and rested there in that 3 days in that borrowed tomb and then rose again to show that not death, not sin, not the devil, nothing, no giant that we face could stop Jesus. And because we're with him, nothing can stop us. Thanks be to God who always leads us in that triumphant procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Now, whether it is your bank account or your blood pressure or its relational status, whatever it is that's going on in our lives, you know that even though all those enemies have been conquered over, there's still the challenges in this life. There's still difficulties. Maybe you've heard the story of a little boy riding in the car with his dad, and as they're going down the highway with the windows down, in comes a bee, you know, and is buzzing around inside the car. Well, no big deal, I guess, for the dad, but the little boy was allergic to bee stings and, you know, had to be at the ready with an EpiPen and everything else. He gets quite nervous and upset. His dad reaches out and grabs the bee in his hand, and the little boy just starts to calm down. But then he hears the buzzing. Still alive inside his dad's hand. And he gets nervous again. His dad says, "Don't worry, son. He can't sting you. He already stung me." See, we still hear the buzzing of the bee sometimes, or as our epistle reading said, we still hear the roaring of the lion. Our enemy is like a lion. He's not a real lion. He can't devour us. He can't do anything to us because Christ has already won the victory for us, but he'll roar his roar to try to scare us and intimidate us. He'll whisper his doubts to try to make us think that the giants that have already been conquered really haven't been. He tries to say, if God is so good, why are you still going through so much? And that's this mystery of the now and the not yet, of the finished, as in what Jesus accomplished at the cross and said, "It is finished," and then the reality of it being finished, not yet what we experience. Now, I imagine if I ask someone to raise hands, and I don't want to put anybody on the spot, I imagine there is some mom or some grandmom out here today who has already bought every Christmas present, already has it wrapped, right? I bet there's somebody out here who's really efficient, really on top of it, and has all that done. That's a picture. That's a picture of what it's like with Jesus. Because he's already purchased us, already has the gifts, already has them wrapped. In fact, he came as a gift, wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrapped in flesh, and was laid in the manger. He came as the gift where he wrapped all sin around himself and took it upon himself as he died on the cross. He was then wrapped in those clothes and placed in into the tomb where he died. All of it's already done. But just like now those children or grandchildren have to wait until Christmas for the gifts you've already bought and wrapped, God says, it's already done, but there's some waiting. And it's in that time of waiting that we so need and so appreciate the promises that he offers to us, because they're what strengthen us. Romans 8, verse 25 is one of those promises. If we have hope, if we know he has the gifts for us, if we know he's given the victory, if we know he's already taken the sting, if we know he's already defeated every giant that we face, if we have that hope, but we do not yet have the reality, we're in the not yet part, we wait patiently. All right, so I have this disease. All right, so I'm going through divorce. Oh, so I'm you know, experiencing this. I'm having this difficulty. But God's not done yet. And the reality is beyond this world and the 2 billion heartbeats that we're going to have and the time we will spend just a short blip of what eternity is all about. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days, right, to sing his praise than when we first begun, because it will just go on and on. This life, as big as the giant challenges seem, this life's a blip, and God already has the victory. So we can, at times when we're overwhelmed, take a breath and wait patiently. We can also be reminded that we're not waiting alone. You know, David, right before he fought Goliath, was anointed to become king of Israel. The current king was not a man after God's own heart. David, God says, is a person after my own heart, and I want him to be king. He has been a shepherd, and so he's been taking care of the sheep, and I want him to be like that. I want him to shepherd my people. So he anoints David as king. Perhaps that's part of what gave David the confidence to go out and be a giant slayer. But from the time David is anointed as king until he actually becomes king, almost 15 years pass by. I don't know about you, but if I was told I had a great Christmas gift, it'd be awfully hard for me to wait 15 years. It's not how it's supposed to work, right? We're especially in our society, we're more used to instant gratification. God, you made a promise. I want it answered now. Well, part of how we handle that, of the waiting side, of the full expression of reality, is while we're waiting, we're not waiting alone. God's waiting with us. And the God who was with David every single day of those 15 years waiting is the God who's with you, waiting for that situation to get better, waiting for that relationship to turn a corner, waiting for things to get clear. He's with you in all of that waiting, in all of that change. And David wrote that psalm to remind us. And here's, again, that phrase of how he put it. While David was waiting, while David was experiencing the enemies and the difficulties that were still there in his life, God didn't just instantly make all of it go away, as much as we might like for that to happen. David said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." I want you to think about the reality of that. God is saying, "I have you. I'm not letting go of you. You may still experience, your circumstances are still there, and you still have this challenge, still have this difficulty, still this giant-sized problem. But even with that there, I'm with you." And what we started out in this series, I want to remind us at the end, if our focus is on the problems, if our focus is on the giant, we'll miss the even more giant-sized grace, the even larger goodness, the even greater love that he has in store for us as he wants to look us eyeball to eyeball, as he wants to meet us at this table and tell you again, you're loved, you're forgiven, you're mine, I am with you. He prepares a table even in the presence of our enemies. God, the realistic God that he is, says, I know you still face challenges. I know you still see and hear and feel giants, but I want you to also know I've conquered them all. So come sit here at this table a bit and rest and be reminded. Hebrews 13, verse 6 puts it this way. With good courage, we can say, God's my helper. God's there with me at the table, even though I have all these enemies and these giant-sized circumstances that are so difficult. God is my helper. I will not fear. Really, what can man or anything else do to me? It's actually a quote from another psalm of David, Psalm 118, verse 6 and verse 7 goes on to say, therefore I will look in triumph on those who hate me. I can just sort of imagine David sitting at that table. Maybe this is right before he went to face the giant. We have no idea. It could be other enemies that he faced. But you could just sort of see him like, hey God, we got this. Those guys, they don't know what's about to hit them. We got this, don't we, God? We got this under control. You and me are a majority, no matter how big the giant is that we face. I can look in triumph on those who hate me because I have first looked at the one who loves me with an everlasting love. If that, friends, is where we start, then we are, as Romans 8 tells us, verse 37, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. We will conquer over. Is it, you know, an empty house now, an empty bed that is there because we have lost a spouse? Is it an empty office because the company told us, I don't want you anymore? What other sense that we feel emptiness in our lives? We can't conquer over. We can't seem to figure our way over, under, or around the giant that's there. But Jesus says, look at me. And together we can be more than conquerors. Together we can get through and over and under anything. With Jesus we can face it, cancer or addiction or any giant. That's the key. With him at the table, with him encouraging us, with him loving us and reminding us of all of his promises, we can face those giants. We can be reassured that we will go through the valley. I want, you know, especially to be very real with everybody that's in a valley time, a time of grieving or a time of uncertainty, a time of fear, a time of brokenness. That valley time, that darkness of oh my gosh, what am I going to do today? How am I going to get through tomorrow? Remember that verse says, yea, though I go through the valley. What you feel right now is not the end. What you feel in the valley is not all what God has intended for you. He has intended for you to go through. First, he gives us a table to give us the strength and the encouragement to get through, to remind us even surrounded by our enemies, he's with us. But we go through the valley, and we go into that eternal life that he has in mind for us, that eternal closeness. So what can we do to help us get through that? I want to suggest that we can remain close. The one who invites us to come and sit at a table with him, a table for two, is inviting us to stay close to him, not to turn and be overwhelmed by the size of our enemies and our giants, but to turn and stay close to the one who has already overcome all of our enemies and our giants. Come here today to this table God has prepared for you and hear him say your name and hear him offer you his strength and grace. Remain close to the one who invites you to walk with him always. Now, next week, we're going to start a new series. We're going to be looking chapter by chapter at the book of Philippians, and that great book that invites us to rejoice in the Lord always. We, I hope, can also have that joy of knowing that God has prepared a table for us and invites us to come close to him right now. May we be blessed and may we love greatly because he has forgiven so much from us and helped us overcome every enemy. In the name of Jesus, amen.